Again, good morning. Yeah, it's good to be back from, I can't lie. It's good to be here. It's not so great to be back from vacation, okay? I want to thank Gary Timmer for preaching last Sunday in my absence, amen. Amen. And I want to thank Pastor Josh who made sure everything was going well and went well. So, amen. I discovered something about myself while we were traveling. And that is, you know, I really dislike road construction. No, I hate road construction. You just get rolling, everything's going good, and you're stopped. I mean, don't they know who I am? No, anyway. It is good to be back. It really is. This morning, we're going to momentarily step away from the series that we're in right now called The Lord is My Shepherd. I really didn't have the quality time to put into that, and I want to make sure I put all into that. Not that I didn't put into, I'm backing myself in a corner. Not that I didn't prepare this, because I truly did, okay, and I was really serious. But anyway, I'm going to preach something to you this morning that I think the Lord has put in my heart for you. And I believe that if you take this message and take it to heart, okay, that it can change your life. I got to ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard of the word slander? Hello? Yeah? Yeah? Well, here's the definition of the word, okay? It's a malicious, false, and defamatory statement or report or accusations that are based on hearsay, rumor, and remain undocumented and unproven. So it's just a bunch of junk, okay? That's what slander is. But basically, what we're saying here today is slander is when you say something bad about someone and you really can't prove it, but you just pass on what you maybe heard. But today I don't want to just talk about normal slander, if you will, or regular slander, if there's such a thing. I want to talk to you about self-slander, okay? Self-slander. So the title of today's message is The Witness Waster, okay? The Witness Waster. And if you would stand with me, please, I see you did that already, Maria. But if you would stand with me, please, we'll begin with our Bible declaration. If you would hold your Bible up towards heaven. You guys seem really quiet today. I know that I'm awfully tired. It's starting to catch up with me. The driving down there, you can put your Bibles down a minute. The driving down there nonstop and the more or less driving back nonstop. And then it's starting to catch up with me. But anyway, you're awfully quiet today. Are you excited about Jesus today? Yes. Are you excited about what he's done for you? Yes. Do you love his word this morning? Yes. And do you love him this morning? Yes. Amen. Well, then we should act like it, shouldn't we? If there's one day a week that we should just get loud for Jesus, it's today. Amen? Amen. Amen. And every Sunday. Anyway, hold your Bible up in the air with me, please. And we will do our Bible declaration. You ready? Amen. Say it loudly. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. In whose name? In Jesus. In whose name? In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go. Something like that. If you would take your Bible that you just held up in the air, and turn with me to Philemon chapter 1, seeing as how there's only one chapter in the whole book. We're going to read verses 4 through 6. Philemon is that book right after Titus, and if you don't know that, we're in trouble, okay? But if you're really in trouble, you can just look up on the screen, all right? All right. Paul says in this passage, he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all his saints, that the sharing of your faith, and I want you to pay attention to verse 6 here, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. All right, I'm gonna read that again. That the sharing of your faith, your witnessing, okay, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement, in other words, this is going to make it happen, okay, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I was at a funeral yesterday, and just now I had this real temptation to do what they did and say, you know, in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord. You're less awake than I am this morning. All right. Here we go. I have some questions for you to consider this morning as we get started. And I wonder, do you confess good things about yourself? Or do you constantly criticize yourself and continually point out your own flaws? That's a good question. It really is. And if you were to ask your friends or your family what they hear you saying about yourself, would they say that you say positive things about yourself, or would they say that you say negative things about yourself? What is your immediate response when someone gives you a compliment? Uh-oh. Do you say thank you and receive it, or do you deny the compliment and reject it? I'm going to ask that one again, because that's a good question. What is your immediate response when someone gives you a compliment? Do you receive it and say thank you, or do you reject it and deny it? Okay. If you haven't figured out already, the main question that we are going to endeavor to answer this morning is this: what kind of characteristics do you continually confess about yourself? Okay? What do you continually confess about who you are? Are you like some people who speak good things about themselves, or are you, say, you know, a little critical about your appearance or your weight or maybe your intelligence or your talents or your skills, even your anointings? I really don't think people realize how prone they are to speaking negatively about who they are or how they perform. I really don't. One way to determine whether or not you are a self-criticizer is by how you answered this next question. I'm going to ask you again, okay? What is your response when someone gives you a compliment? What is your response? You know, do you accept it humbly, or do you refuse the compliment wholeheartedly? I mean, which is it? In other words, do you cancel their compliment by refusing to accept it, and in turn begin to tell them some reasons why you really aren't worthy of the compliment that they just gave you? You know, after writing this message, I was really prompted to listen to myself when I talked about myself to myself or to someone else. Sometimes only myself is the only one to listen. But I began to realize that maybe my own mouth and what I was confessing had become my own worst enemy, all right? I mean, really, think about it. Nobody likes it, okay, when someone speaks negatively or badly about them, do you? Nobody likes that. So let me ask you this. Then why is it all right for you to speak negatively and badly about yourself? You're God's kid. Amen? I don't like it when people say bad things about my kids. So if you're going to say bad things about my kids, tell my wife. Don't tell me. This is going to be one of those days. Please notice what the Bible says in our text for today. In verse 6, Paul says this, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So the verse, what's it saying? It's simply saying this, that my witness for Christ could be affected by my not acknowledging, or by me acknowledging what God has put inside of me. In other words, what I'm confessing about myself when people compliment me, or at other times even, is actually what you would call a witness waster. Amen. Haven't you ever heard it said, "Oh, people can just watch your life and they're going to get saved," and that's true. But you have to admit, after looking at your own life and the things that you say and the things that you do, you would kind of wonder why they would want to come and follow you to Christ. Amen? I didn't think I'd get a real amen on that one, but are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say to you? Good, because I'm going to have Gary come and pray now, because I think we need it, okay? So please, Gary, if you'd come up here. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
At least we're getting more lively now, which is good. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can all be together today, Lord. And we do thank you that Pastor Wes and his family came back safely to us, God. And Lord, we want to be good witnesses for you, Father. And we should be excited, Lord, in who we are in you, God. And I thank you that through your message today to us, Lord, that's going to happen. Lord, that we will become more alive in you, God, that we will become a brighter light, Lord, just a shining star for you, God, to be able to witness for you. Father, all that you use us for, God, let us be aware. Father, let us accept it. Let us get excited in you, Lord. That's what it's going to take to reach those around us, is to be excited in you. Father, and I thank you that you're doing it through your word, that you're doing it through the worship, God. You're doing it through Pastor Wes. Father, we just thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, the title of the message this morning is The Witness Waster. So let's look at verse 6 again and really look at it this time deeply, all right? Tear it apart a little bit. What this verse is saying is this, it says this, that the sharing of your faith may become effective, okay? And I'm sure everybody here, each time they witness, they would much rather have that be effective than not be effective, right? I mean, how many today would raise their hand and say, I wish that all of my witnessing, there would be fruit from it? Amen. Amen. I definitely wish the same thing. So, as I look at this scripture and as I begin to tear it apart, I found out that the word effective in this verse is the Greek word energeo, okay? It's where we get the English word energy. But in this verse, the word energeo carries the idea of someone that has suddenly, someone who has suddenly become energized or activated. Paul's words could actually be rendered like this, that the communication or sharing of your faith may become energized and activated. And that's what we want. Let me give you an example, if you will, of what energeo is really trying to say. And I'm going to give this to you because, you know, I think we all know this little ditty, but wrong context, wrong conclusion, right? If you're reading the word and you take something out of context, you can make it say whatever you want it to say, okay? But here's an example, okay? And I've used this example before. Maybe you'll recognize it, maybe you won't. I hope you don't. If you take a car, okay, a regular car, it might be filled with enough gas to drive it for a long ways, but it won't go anywhere until you put the key into the ignition and then turn the key. Am I right? And the moment the key is turned, the engine, you know, begins to turn over and it fires up and it's ready to go. And once the engine has been fired up or activated, the potential that has already been in the car is ready to be unleashed. Are you with me? Now, understand something here. Now, the car always had the ability to move, right? It always had that ability inside of it, right? All right. But if it's never activated by turning on the key, it sits silently in the driveway, right? No matter how much gas is in the tank of the car or how much horsepower is under the hood of the car, its power and potential will never be put to use until somebody turns the key in the ignition. Amen. Now let's apply that principle, if you will, from the Word of God to you and I. In Philemon 1:6, Paul writes again that every good thing has been placed in you by Jesus Christ, right? If you think about it, and you should, and you should probably think about this more than you do now, but if you think about it, Jesus saves you. Glory to God. Let's hear it. Yeah, amen. And he heals you. He redeems you. You know, he protects you. He's given you a sound mind. He's given you the mind of Christ. He's imparted gifts and talents to you. Come on. And he's planned a future for your life and given you a hope. I mean, that is amazing. Those are all good things. So what am I saying? You and I are loaded with this phenomenal potential, if you will, that is just waiting to be activated. It's just waiting. And I'm going to throw this in. You might say something like this, you know, and I know the Bible says all believers have been given all those good things. I mean, that's really cool, but I don't really feel like any of that is true about me. I wish I had a dollar for every time, I'm getting greedy, it used to be a nickel, for every time I've heard this kind of thing, okay? The people feel this way. They say, you know, I mean, I'm so defeated. I feel so defeated. Even though the Word says I'm healed, in reality, is that I still feel sick. And even though God's Word says I have a sound mind, I continually feel like I don't have control of my thought life. And in spite of the fact, the Bible says God has blessed me with gifts and talents, I feel like I'm just a dummy. I mean, I have nothing to offer anybody. I'm one of those people. And there's this big gap between me and what the Bible says about me and what I feel about me. That last part's important because, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel about you. There's a lot about that that's going on today. You can't watch a program on the television in Michigan without getting three or four drug mind-altering advertisements. You know, I think are we the only state that does that? But we have an excessive amount of it, excessive amount. So if you go by your feelings, it's being so focused upon today, you know, you're not going to realize what you've been given, okay? Okay. But the truth is, we're like that car, right? Okay. We're loaded with enough gas. Good one, Wes. That's loaded with enough gas and horsepower to get you anywhere you need to go. But in order for that potential in you to be released, you have to possess the ignition key, right? You have to have the key. But it isn't just enough for you to just possess the key. You need to put it in the ignition, all right, and turn it so that the potential that lives inside of you, that God has put inside of you, will be activated. Are you following me? I hope so. When you turn your key in your ignition, okay, suddenly the potential you possess in Jesus Christ is supernaturally ignited. All right? It's activated, it's energized, and released on the inside of you. So the question is, what is that key? You know, what really is the key that sparks all the good things that God has placed inside of us to becoming an outward reality? Because how many are still waiting for some of those things to happen? Come on. Yeah. But what is the key that causes all that God has declared about you to become activated in your life? And once you know what the key is, how do you turn the key in the ignition? How do you do that? So that the great work God has done inside of you is activated and released. Because I don't know about you, I want it all to be activated and I want it all to be released to other people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Paul says this in verse 6 again, that the sharing of your faith may come, sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing. That word acknowledgement in this verse is what holds the answer to all the questions. All right? This word acknowledgement is from the Greek word epignosis, which describes a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. Okay? It gives us the picture of a person who knows his facts like a professional or like a teacher should. This is a person so sure of their information that when they speak it, they do so with confidence and boldness. Why? Because they have no reason to be ashamed or to fear that other people may accuse them of being incorrect, because they know as they know as they know as they know the truth. And because they are so well instructed and have an intensive, deep knowledge of the facts, they can have that confidence. You might ask this, okay? I got a lot of these you might ask. How did they obtain all this knowledge? How did they get all these facts? Well, I can tell you this much. Nobody becomes this knowledgeable by accident. It doesn't just happen, okay? It happens like our vision statement, okay? It happens when you live life on purpose, okay? It happens when you pay attention to what the Word of God says. It happens when you let the Word of God change who you are, when you become, as you said, by and renewed in the spirit of your mind, okay? It happens when you let that happen and when you yield to that. All right. Let me give you another example, and I've used this before too, but think about a doctor and all the information that they know. The thing is, all that information didn't just suddenly appear in their minds, okay? The knowledge that they have is the result of many years, all right? Many years of study and lots of hard work. So becoming a doctor requires study, meditation, and digging deep into the truth of anatomy, amen? And then applying themselves to know those facts inside out. I wouldn't want to go to a doctor who answered my question with this answer. If I asked him, why does my arm itch? I don't want him to say, let me check on Google. Don't laugh. You want your doctor to know what's going on, right? I mean, you, of course, or you wouldn't go there. You trust him, all right? You could say then that a doctor has an epignosis of the needed information. He's intimately acquainted with the information, the data. Now, Paul uses the same idea, all right, when he says we are to make an acknowledgement of every good thing that has been placed in us by Jesus Christ. So what does all this mean? This means we need to confess the truth about ourselves. You really need to understand that, and you really need to hear that this morning. We need to confess the truth about ourselves, but before we can really confess the truth, we have to know the truth. Amen? And remember, if you will, what the Bible says about knowing the truth. What'll happen if you know the truth? It'll set you free. How many of you want to be free this morning? Amen? Well, there you have the answer for it, okay? Because the word epignosis depicts a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts, Paul is letting us know that it is essential for you and I to possess a knowledge of exactly who we are in Christ. Amen? Come on. Amen? And a knowledge of what Jesus has purchased for you in your redemption, and a knowledge of every good thing that God has placed on the inside of you by Jesus Christ. A firm knowledge of all these truths that is so concrete and so unshakable that you are immovable in what you think and believe about who you are in Christ. Amen? The truth is, if you don't know the facts about who you are in Christ, it's time for you to get digging into the Bible and get serious about what you have and what you have to do and what you've been called by God to do. Amen? Amen? It's time to dig into it. You know, you have to know the truth of who you are like a doctor knows his anatomy, okay? Like a doctor knows what to prescribe for you. The thing of it is, the truth about who you are in Christ is one of the keys to your victory. All right? One of the keys. You should, and this I'm talking about the Bible, okay, because this is where we'll get our information. You should read and study and listen to teaching material. In other words, you should use every available resource to discover what God's Word says and what you have been given in Christ. This knowledge of the Word, and this is what is, this knowledge of the Word will set you free. It'll set you free every day of your life, and you won't be putting yourself back in bondage again. However, as we said, merely possessing the key won't activate it just by having the key. It's just not going to make all these realities happen in your life. You have to put the key where? In the ignition. And then you have to do what? You have to turn it. Yeah. Sparking these truths into manifestation. Now hear this. Likewise, the truth of the Word of God in your life does no good until it is spoken. Amen. It is right. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the moment you open your mouth and start confessing the good things that are in you by Jesus Christ, there's this supernatural connection made between your faith, and all that Jesus has deposited on the inside of you. The confession of your mouth, now I know that has been taken to some weird place out in East Jesus somewhere, but it is true, okay? It is true. Say it is true. The confession of your mouth or your acknowledgement of the truth is what sparks these spiritual blessings and giftings and causes them to become, like what Paul was saying, you know, operative, activated, and they become manifested realities. Sadly, many people, most people, I think, who know the truth, they remain in bondage because they never align their mouth with the truth that is written in the Word of God. And again, I'm not trying to take you off into some weird place over here where you're confessing Corvettes into your garage. I've tried that. Doesn't work. But the idea of getting your mouth lined up, if the Word of God says that you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you, what is that saying? Oh, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Wow. I don't think you're getting this. I don't feel very loved. For God so loved the world. It doesn't matter what I feel like. God loves me. I don't feel like God is with me, but His Word says that He's with me, so you know what? He's with me. Amen? It's that type of thing that I'm talking about. And the positive confession comes from a positive knowledge of the Word of God, nothing else. Okay? The Word of God. I would never try to do some silly thing like confessing a Corvette into my garage or a Piper Comanche into my hangar that I don't have, okay? I mean, I'm going to confess what I know is true, all right? I'm going to confess what I know is true. And I know that anything that says in this Bible is true. And you know, it's hard to say this, but, you know, if you don't believe that, what do you believe? I mean, if you don't believe that you can stand on the Word of God, then what are we supposed to do when the Bible says, after having done all to stand, stand? Where? You stand on the Word. You stand on the truth of the Word that sets you free. All right. But instead of turning the key in the ignition, instead of doing that, instead of speaking what God says about them, they ridicule themselves. Now think about this. They put themselves down, and they speak poorly about themselves, thinking they're being humble. Okay? These Christians, they possess all the potential that God has placed in them, but they never experience that potential because their mouths have never sparked and activated those spiritual blessings, now hear me please, into becoming manifested realities. Why do you think Jesus called everybody publicly? Why do you think it was important that they confessed it, that they had accepted him? Because it's important that it comes out of your mouth. Amen? What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. The key that we possess is the Word of God. The ignition is your mouth. It is. It's your mouth. Now, I realize that that's hard to hear because it has been so much, you know, stretched out of shape and taught so terribly and wrong. But the truth is, when you confess the Word of God, you do speak things into reality. When you begin talking about, you know, how much God loves you, you know, you begin to realize, you know what, he really does love me. But the key is turned in the ignition when you open your mouth and start to speak the biblical truth about yourself. I'm not saying if you're a 5-foot man that you can confess yourself into 6-foot. It doesn't say that in the Word of God, okay? But I am telling you this, okay? We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to realize, and if somebody says, man, that was great the way you ministered to that person. Oh, no, I'm really not that good. I'm just, it was terrible. What would happen if you all of a sudden received that compliment and said, well, thank you. I mean, it's the Lord in me, but thank you, you know? You know, and then suddenly you realize that God just used me. God just used me to talk to this person. You know, what an honor that really is. So the way to make these blessings real in your life is to thoroughly know them, amen, through diligent study. It's not going to just happen. Put these truths into your mouth and then speak them out loud. If you're going to do any convincing, it's time to start convincing yourself, amen? If you confess something long enough, you begin to believe it. But that's how you turn the key in your ignition and energize the truths until they begin to manifest in you. You know, it's time to make your mouth your ally instead of your enemy. Amen. Amen. It's time to start receiving the good things that people say about you and reflect them back to God, but don't reject them. All right? Instead, you know, we as Christians, we need to open our mouths and let God and let people know what God says about us. What God says about them, all right? And by acknowledging the basic truth of what you have been given in Jesus, you will release so much divine truth, so much divine truth, that it will radically transform your life, because I believe this word will transform your life, period. It will transform your life. If you read it, if you study it, if you ruminate on it, if you continually keep on reading it, it's going to change your life. You know, isn't it good to say, I'm not the person I used to be? Amen. Yes. Amen? And I want to continually be able to say, you know, I'm not the person I was. I'm not the person, you know, and continually be moving on. So if I could tell you anything this morning, you know, I would say to you, you know, quit talking so negatively about yourself. Oh, you've lost weight.
Well, not really, you know.
Oh, you know, you're working out, aren't you? It's starting to show.
Oh, no, heck no.
You know,
boy, I want to be just like that guy, you know. I want to be like that Christian who,
Stop speaking so negatively about yourself. Some of us think it's humility, but it's not. Stop the self-slander and begin to bring words out of your mouth and bring them into agreement and alignment with the truths that God has spoken in his word. Amen? So, if I could tell you anything else, I'd tell you this. Learn the truth about who you are in Christ. Don't come here and let me tell you, okay? Or your buddy tell you, whatever it might be, all right? Don't do that. Look for it in here. Because you never know what you might pick up looking for it. The Word of God always, say always. Always produces a fruit in your life, okay? Sometimes we don't realize it until later, okay? But I'm going to tell you, it always plants a seed. It always, sometimes some scripture that you're going to read is going to water a seed. And then there's going to be the day when it comes to fruition and you're going to go, wow, I never saw that before. Right? Amen. You have to learn the truth about who you are in Christ and let your mouth begin to confess those truths instead of confessing the lies of the enemy. Philemon 1:6 could read like this. That the sharing of your faith may be energized and activated by the words of your mouth in the well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the Word of God. Living Bible version. Don't say bad stuff about yourself. Quit saying bad stuff about yourself. Why? I can do that. No, it's a witness waster. It's a witness waster. Because how is anybody going to want to be like you who is a Christian if all that comes out of your mouth is a negative garbage? You know, we talk about this kind of thing, and we talk about this without realizing that there's actually scripture to back it up, you know? But there's scripture to back it up. There is. It makes a difference, okay, in their lives, in your life. That the sharing of your faith may be energized and activated by the words of your mouth and the well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I wonder if you would, you don't have to stand with me for this. Do you have those bullet points that I had in? Okay. If God's Word, I would like to do this responsive reading type of thing, okay? Those of you who have never been in a Reformed church don't know what I'm talking about. But if God's Word says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, begin to confess that. In actuality, I was going to do that a little different. It was going to go like this. God's Word says you have the mind of Christ, so begin to confess. Hold it. All right. God's Word says I can do all things through Christ. So begin to confess not the negative things that you can't do. Say this. God's Word says you're blessed. So you need to begin not to talk anymore about how terrible you have it, but that you're blessed. Amen. Amen? So if God's Word says that you're blessed, you should confess what?
I'm blessed.
That's it. It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. But for some reason, we don't do it. For some reason, we think that it's humble not to accept a compliment. But the Bible says we have to acknowledge all the good things that have been put in us through Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to acknowledge them? It doesn't say to acknowledge them negatively, okay? There is a lot of truth in talking about, in believing, in fact, that the words of your mouth matter. A couple of poorly placed words in a person's life can change them forever. Why would we think that the words that are written in the Word of God, they're so powerful. Why wouldn't we think that they would be more so? Are you with me? Amen. That's all I really have for you this morning. But I really want you to hear it, if you would, and understand that it's not humility. It's not humility. To not receive a compliment. Oh, it's not. In fact, it's a form of pride. But if you could do one thing different for a week, you'd see how much it would change your life if you did it all the time, okay? So this week, why don't you try to receive those compliments? Okay? Try to understand that, you know, that it will affect your witness if you don't. Okay? It really will. And so this week, try to meditate on the things, pick out a few promises. They're not hard to find. Three that you're familiar with, maybe, and write them on a 3x5 card. Shove them in your pocket, you know, your purse, whatever. Put them in your phone. And just begin to confess the Word of God. And have that confession just wash over your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Amen.
Good, good. And I guarantee you that if you do that, even for a week, you're going to see a difference in your life. If you're going to stop with the negative and begin with the positive, that in itself is going to change your life. Amen? Let's pray.